Their aunt was decidedly sinister, but only because she was from their mother's side of the family. If she had been from their father's side of the family, she would have been decidedly Winterbottom. It had been a great trial for each of the sinister Winterbottom children to learn how to write their own names, something their usually thoughtful parents had neglected to think through. Another thing their parents had neglected to think through was the wisdom of dropping off 16-year-old Wilhelmina Sinister Winterbottom, who had actually learned how to write her own name as a toddler, 12-year-old Theodora Sinister Winterbottom, who had never to this day written out her whole name, preferring Theo, and also 12-year-old Alexander Sinister Winterbottom, who had always insisted on each and every letter of his entire name and would not answer to Alex even if he were hanging off the side of a cliff and a search party was frantically shouting it. To spend the summer with their Aunt Sophronia Sinister, whom the children had never met and who, by all appearances, had never encountered an actual human child before. Will had been adopted as a baby. Theo and Alexander had joined the family 4 years later, born hand in hand. Sometimes, still, when they weren't paying attention or they were nervous or scared, they reached for each other's hands. They weren't reaching for each other's hands now, though, because they weren't nervous or scared, just confused. Their noses, with matching freckles dotted across quick-to-sunburn white skin, wrinkled in unison.
"Do you remember getting here?" Alexander whispered. "What?" Theo answered, shifting closer to him.
Her short, spiky brown hair was pushed back from her forehead with a headband. Alexander's was neatly combed and gelled into place.
"How did we get here?"
"The kitchen?"
"No, this house in... where are we?"
"What town is this, Aunt Sophronia?"
But Aunt Sophronia spoke as though she didn't hear Alexander's question.
"I wonder about your parents' judgment, summoning me. I am not well suited to—"
Aunt Sophronia gestured vaguely in their direction.
"And I wonder if you will be suited to the grave tasks ahead." Still, they had no other options.
"So you're taking care of us? The whole summer?" Theo scowled. Aunt Sophronia merely nodded.
"How often would you say you need to eat? If I set out some food in the morning, will that be enough?"
"Depends on how much food you set out," Will answered, not bothering to look up from where she tapped furiously on the screen of her phone. Her fingers moved so fast, sometimes they blurred. Her phone's name was Rodrigo, and it was her third favorite member of the family. She always refused to say who were in first and second place, though, leaving Alexander vaguely worried that he came in after the phone. Theo was confident she was first and would not have believed it if anyone had told her otherwise.
"It also depends on what kind of food you set out," added Alexander, who was very particular about food safety protocols. Images of sweating cartons of milk going sour made him feel as though he were breaking out in a cold sweat along with the milk.
"Definitely not enough," said Theo. "We need to eat at least as often as you do." Aunt Sophronia pursed her colorless lips. This statement seemed to puzzle her even more than trying to calculate how to feed three children.
"Yes, as often as I eat."
Theo stomped past her and opened the fridge. It was empty. Apparently, the food in question was theoretical. And theoretical food was Theo's least favorite type. She even preferred beets over theoretical food, and all beets tasted like dirt. Alexander was distracted from the theoretical food by the non-theoretical kitchen. It looked like it had been transported directly from an old TV show. The floor was black and white tile, the walls a warm marigold color, the cabinets and counters white like the old-fashioned fridge. Had he not still been vaguely queasy just thinking about spoiled milk, he would have appreciated how well the kitchen matched his aunt. Aunt Sophronia looked a bit like she had been transported from another era as well. Her dress trailed on the floor, hiding her feet. Her hair was long and straight, nearly black, and her skin was so pale it blended in with the stark white cabinets. Her large eyes, which Alexander was fairly certain had not blinked once during this conversation, remained fixed on a point somewhere behind them.
"I could buy some food?" she suggested. Alexander did not understand why it was a question and not a statement.